Hey pet lovers, please listen up. I want to introduce to you Nature's Logic, the most natural full-line pet food ever made, and here's why. Nature's Logic is made with a variety of high-quality proteins, such as beef, chicken, lamb, and venison. You will never find any synthetic vitamins, minerals, or anything else synthetic in Nature's Logic. Only real nutritional foods, such as dried blueberries, apples, carrots, cranberries, spinach, and almonds. Foods loaded with natural vitamins and minerals, as made by nature, not a chemist. Nature's Logic is committed to providing the highest quality and safest nutrition for the furry members of your family. So folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit the Nature's Logic website at naturslogic.com and find a store near you. Nature's Logic can be found in many independent stores throughout Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. So do your pets a favor and start feeding them Nature's Logic and treat them to the very best. Nature's Logic is truly 100% natural, the way pet foods should be.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
Hello and welcome back. You are listening to All Paws Pet Talk. My name is Annie Greer and we have a very special guest in the studio today. We're actually broadcasting from the Global Pet Expo in Orlando and we will be talking with Cesar Millan, yes, the man himself, and he has brought the wonderful three-year-old Junior with him. And I really wanted to cover, as we are a rescue program, Cesar, one of the problems that we have is so many people adopt a dog and then that dog ends up back in the shelter. So what are your biggest tips for people when they are adopting, it's usually an adult dog, and nowadays, particularly in this area, there's so many pit bulls. What is your suggestion?
Well, I have a few suggestions, but one of the most, I think, impacting for dogs is that a lot of people fall in love with the story of the dog, and they feel sorry for them. And then they start showering the dog with affection, and what they don't realize is they're living in the past. And so what I recommend to people is to forget about the past and give that dog what he really needs, which is exercise, discipline, rules, boundaries, and limitations, and then affection. But the affection has to be given when the mind is calm and surrender. You know, the body is calm from exercise. The mind understands what the rules, boundaries, and limitations are, so it's surrender.
So now I go one step further, Cesar. I tell my people, go and put a sign on the refrigerator saying, this dog is very lucky I chose him. So when they first come home, as you say, most people want to just buy everything that's new and they crawl all over the dog. But you're not saying don't pet the dog, but you're saying do something first before they get the reward of affection.
Well, you know, you say something very important that I think people should hear what you said is I chose the dog. Most of the people allow the dog to choose them. And that is not a very a good logical adoption, you know, because a lot of times, you know, for those who watch the movie Marley and Me, that's the meaning of it. A dog that comes and jumps on people, and the interpretation is the dog chose me, you know. But what happened was is this dog was excited, and he was the most excited of all. And so this is the dog that claimed these people. You know, and so very important, the conversation that we put in our mind is we choose the dog because we like certain things about him. And, you know, saying about putting things in the refrigerator and in the bathroom areas where you visit the most in your household to remind yourself about what is it that you need to do, how do you need to perceive this relationship from this point on. Is the dog lucky? Yeah. Are you lucky? Absolutely. But, you know, it's really not about the past. It's really not about feeling sorry for the dog. I always suggest to people, have a mentality like paramedic. When a paramedic sees a human under stress, he doesn't feel sorry for him. He feels calm. He feels confident that he can help him to balance himself. So have a paramedic mentality while you're helping a dog recover. Then you can have a dog lover mentality. dog lover mentality. They just feel sorry for the dog. You know, they shower the dog with affection at the wrong time. I'm not saying not to give a dog affection. I'm saying learn to give affection at the right time so you can nurture the right state of mind. You know, love is meant to nurture healthy state of mind, not to make a dog unstable. You know, most of my clients or the people that seek for my help are dog lovers. They love their dogs. The dog have their names on their beds, but the dog get to have birthday parties, but they're unstable.
It's so funny. You know, we own veterinary practices. Some of the worst dogs we ever see come in are those little tiny dogs, the princess dogs, yeah, that don't realize they're a dog.
Yeah.
And then they come back and see us and they turn into lap alligators.
Yeah.
So,
lap alligators.
You know, believe me, they are. I'd deal with a pit bull any day before a chihuahua. So your advice to people that have a smaller dog that now come to you and say, I don't understand, he keeps biting me when I try and sit on my bed.
Right. Well, you know, the way they that I've seen the people try to solve problems is they carry the dog, and then they give the dog a kiss, and then they start telling, Mommy doesn't want you to do them. Mommy doesn't like when you bite people. Mommy doesn't want, you know. And so what they don't realize is they're nurturing the dog. Nobody will carry a Rottweiler when he misbehaves. One is his size, right? And then a little dog, everything is being interpreted as he looks cute. And one day he will stop doing this. So a lot of times, in my humble opinion, people live in an illusion, right? And this illusion creates a fur baby, you know? Even kids need rules, boundaries, and limitations, you know? And so it's true. Most of the dogs at the dog park, they trigger the wrong reaction is little dogs, but everybody blames the big dog, right? Because the big dog can create a more harm physically, but the little dog, you start doing signals. You know, as soon as he enters into the dog park, because he feels he owns the whole entire dog park, you know, and nobody should be there except him and he's human, you know, but it's a lot of body, you know, a lot of gestures that they're doing. As soon as they enter with, you know, with the head up and the chest up, and they just feel like they rule the rooster. And so obviously the dogs that are already there are going to say, why you behave this way? You know, and they're going to start using their paw. Then the little dog is going to start attacking. And then the big dog is going to say, well, no, that's not allowed.
It's so true. Now, let me tell you, I just met you. You come across as someone with a tremendous amount of calmness. And I know you talk about having that low energy level, you know, not to get the dogs fired up. I'm a very high energy person, but I can be very calm around dogs. How do you teach someone that really them getting excited is not going to help the dog learn a darn thing?
Oh, it's an exercise. It's an exercise. It's definitely an awareness. You know, when you come from a third world country, the only way you can live or survive is by being calm.
Wow.
We sometimes don't have food, so we can't really panic. It's not an option. Modern society panics for everything. You know, they want everything yesterday. And we didn't have something yesterday. We're not assuming we're going to have it tomorrow. So the way we cope or deal is by being calm. You know, and we do this as a family. So modern society is not a calm society. Modern society is a very neurotic society.
And you know, what's interesting, of course, this is how Japan's getting through their devastation, is that such a calm nation. Mm-hmm. It's so fascinating you say that. Cesar, we're going to have to end there because I know you've got a lot of stuff to do. But really, what a great insight. And thank you so much for joining us on All Paws Pet Talk.
I do believe we can learn more from dogs than they can learn from us.
I agree. I agree with that one. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Bye-bye. You know, Brian, that was just such an honor to talk to Cesar. And it's so hard on the radio to really kind of explain to people. Sitting down with him, he's just so calm. It's like this feeling you get, like you're just in this sort of presence. And I was very honored. I was very lucky. I was the only one to get that interview.
It was a coup. That was a bona fide coup.
It really was a coup. And all the people in the press room who weren't speaking to me before the interview, interestingly enough, afterwards came up and everybody wanted to know.
Yes, everybody loved
you. Yes, how
now.
Are you? Yeah. And nice to see you again today. That was just so funny. But he has a good handle on things. I know certain people disagree with certain things he does. But you know what? He's really brought the attention of the public on how important it is to get a dog trained and to exercise it correctly. I mean, I had someone the other day that said they just adopted this pit bull mix and had tried crating it, but it busted out of the crate, destroyed a house, really doesn't know what to do. Why is it doing this? And I find out, because you've always got to get a history on this, I find out that, in fact, she's taking it out for 10 minutes a day. So anyway, great way to end the program. Remind the listeners, you've been listening to All Paws Pet Talk. It's my pleasure to say cheerio, and we look forward to welcoming you back next time. Thank you so much.
Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
Hey pet lovers, please listen up. I want to introduce to you Nature's Logic, the most natural full-line pet food ever made, and here's why. Nature's Logic is made with a variety of high-quality proteins, such as beef, chicken, lamb, and venison. You will never find any synthetic vitamins, minerals, or anything else synthetic in Nature's Logic. Only real nutritional foods, such as dried blueberries, apples, carrots, cranberries, spinach, and almonds. Foods loaded with natural vitamins and minerals, as made by nature, not a chemist. Nature's Logic is committed to providing the highest quality and safest nutrition for the furry members of your family. So folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit the Nature's Logic website at naturslogic.com and find a store near you. Nature's Logic can be found in many independent stores throughout Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. So do your pets a favor and start feeding them Nature's Logic and treat them to the very best. Nature's Logic is truly 100% natural, the way pet foods should be.
Do you have a dog?
Yes, ma'am.
What kind of dog?
A dog.
Where he's from?
Hello, welcome back. Just a quick reminder, you are listening to All Paws Pet Talk, and my name is Annie Greer.
And my name is Brian Patrick Clark.
And we have one of the doctors that always helps us out with some of these more technical issues, and it's a big button right now because there's been such an increase in the amount of pets that are now suffering from diabetes, something that was relatively rare before, that I thought we should get Dr. Craig Tochman on the line again. And he's been very kind because he got up very early to join us today because I believe he's on the West Coast in probably San Francisco.
That's like the ultimate leftist of the left part of our country. And bear in mind, I'm a Californian of 28 years, so you know.
That's true. So good morning, Dr. Tochman. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you guys doing?
Morning, Doc. Doing great.
Good.
So listen, I saw there was a report out in the latest Veterinary Economics magazine, which to those of people who don't know, that is the kind of trade magazine of veterinarians and animal hospitals, if you will. With a great concern over the rapid rise of diabetes in both dogs and cats. I have to say, in our practice, we would be more likely by about 3 to 1 to see cats suffering from diabetes than dogs. Is that the same in the area that you practice, Dr. Tochman?
Yeah, cats are far more likely to get diabetes than dogs.
Okay, so first of all, if we can do a very brief overview to try and explain to people actually what diabetes is.
So diabetes is essentially an inability of the body to use insulin, which is produced by the pancreas and is responsible for allowing sugar to get into the cells for energy. And so when we are either unable to use insulin or we don't produce insulin, we can't use the sugar. The sugar builds up in our blood. We see it spill into the urine, which causes excessive urination, and we call that diabetes. Diabetes mellitus is the technical term for it.
Now, what are the first symptoms that people are going to see where they notice, hey, maybe there's something up here?
Usually it's excessive thirst. The dog or cat is urinating more frequently because of all the sugar in the urine. And in order to keep up for all that extra water loss from urinating so much, they start drinking a lot more water. And that's usually the first sign. They also tend to be very hungry because, of course, they're not getting sugar into their cells, so their cells are starving. And so they're eating lots of food, and yet they start losing weight because they can't use the energy from the food. So lots of drinking first, then lots of eating with a little bit of weight loss. is usually what we'll see first.
Now, is this a kind of gradual onset, or is it something that one day you just wake up and you think, oh, wait a minute, that's a little odd?
You know, that's an interesting question, because in reality, it's probably a gradual onset kind of thing, but because it comes across to the owner as something that's all of a sudden, because it's they're not noticing it. So all of a sudden, you realize one day that you filled the water bowl three times. But it's likely been going on for quite some time. And really, Annie, that's part of what everybody's very concerned about in the veterinary community, is that not only are we seeing an increase, but we're seeing an increase in really severe cases. They're coming in incredibly sick, and it's called ketoacidosis. Because once your body starts really running out of sugar, it starts breaking down fat. That's why they're losing weight. And it's similar to the Atkins diet that people used to do. When you stop eating carbohydrates and stop eating sugar, your body starts breaking down the fat, but the waste product from that is ketones, and that creates an acid environment in your body, essentially, and that makes you really sick. And so these cats are coming in really, really sick, not just with plain old diabetes, but with really advanced cases of diabetes, because it takes so long to recognize the problem, and as you know, because people aren't coming to the veterinarian as often as they used to, and so we're not catching these diseases early with our blood testing and our exams on a regular basis.
Now, I know, obviously, when someone walks through the door and they say, well, and let's look at cats right now, my cat's been drinking a lot and losing weight. We're not going to say, oh, he's got diabetes. Because, of course, you and I talked a few weeks ago about kidney disease, and really the symptoms can be very similar, particularly in an older cat. So what is likely to happen when you visit your veterinarian?
And you're exactly right. And not only kidney disease, but thyroid disease. There's all kinds of diseases that cause very similar symptoms in your pet. So we're gonna do our physical examination and get a good look there. But first thing we're gonna do is a blood panel and a urinalysis. And the blood panel is actually easier to get because we can get blood out of everybody. Getting urine is sometimes a challenge. But we'll try and get both, and we'll look at both of the results from both of those tests. And really have probably about a 95% confidence in our diagnosis from those two tests right away to separate kidney disease from diabetes. The hard part, Annie, is that a lot of these cats, especially when they're older, have both. And that makes it even a little bit more complicated.
Now, I know sometimes when we perhaps have a newer doctor, a newer graduate come in, you get some blood work on a cat that you're not necessarily suspecting diabetes, and the glucose level is very high, but that's where my husband, being a little older, may come in and say, no, I'm not very excited about that. And they'll be like, well, why? It looks like he's got diabetes. And he said, well, possibly, but we'd have to test further. Now, why is that in cats?
You see the picture of the cat with the hair standing up and the big eyes and the claws out? And that's called stress. And cats get stressed. You know, cats don't like leaving the couch. You know, let alone going to the veterinarian necessarily. And so they get stressed. And when they get sick at home, they get stressed. And when the kids throw the balls at them, they get stressed. So part of the stress response is to release a lot of sugar. And so we'll frequently see, if the normal range on a cat's blood sugar is say up to 150, we'll commonly see 180, 210, 220, and I'm the same as your husband, although I'm younger, we don't get too concerned about that because it is usually stress. That's why you want the urine, because if the sugar's high enough, we'll see that show up in the urine. If it's just from stress, that's usually not the case. I agree.
And I know a lot of people kind of think, okay, let's say the diagnosis has been made, which, by the way, may take some time because we do things called glucose curves, which means repeating the blood work over a series of hours to make sure we can really get a good point of where are we exactly. But I know a lot of people think, okay, well, it's got diabetes. And they tend to think of humans and you'll change the diet, and that's true. We will change that diet, perhaps. And, oh, am I going to give insulin? And that is where I think people perhaps don't understand
This is going to be a lifelong commitment.
Right.
So, first of all, let's look at the diet. Let's say we've got an animal that is just borderline. We may not want to go hammering in with the insulin because that really, as you know, but maybe the pet owners don't know, can be very difficult to regulate at times, is an ongoing, like I said, a lifetime commitment. So if we have a cat here that's not, or dog, you know, it's kind of borderline, we might just change the diet. Now, I think sometimes people are surprised by our recommendations on the diet. So tell us what you would do, Dr. Topman.
Well, we will recommend a diet that's pretty much specifically made for the diabetic pet. It's usually a very high fiber diet, similar to a weight loss diet. And then there's other diets there's newer diets that aren't necessarily high fiber, but they're designed specifically for the diabetic. They're all designed to reduce how much sugar is absorbed from the food. And that's the first thing we're going to try and do is reduce the sugar intake and try and change the metabolism of the pet a little bit and try and see if we can control it that way. And that does work, like you said, in a smaller proportion of the pets. They're not severe yet. They're borderline. In humans, there's really two types of diabetes. There's the diet responsive that never need insulin, and then there's the insulin dependent where they're either not making insulin or the cells can't use it anymore. The majority of our pets have that second type where we eventually have to give insulin. But we always try diet first, and we always keep them on the diet while we're trying the insulin therapy to try and reduce the amount of insulin that we have to give.
And we've got about a minute left. I'm going to bring you back another week to finish up how we actually treat. But I think you would also agree, maybe the message out there is understand you're in for some long-term testing. You're going to be seeing a lot of us.
You're going to be sick of us. I'll just say it. You know my theme, which is the earlier we catch it, the easier it is to get it under control, as with any disease. So, you know, and especially I understand I've got four cats at home and they don't like to get in the car necessarily, but it's vital that folks take their cats in every year, get them checked, get those blood tests done, and get it done early so that we catch these things in the early stages. It pays off for everybody, especially your pet in the long run.
Okay, well, we're certainly not sick of you, Dr. Topman. So thank you so much for joining us. I hope you'll join us again in a couple of weeks to do the follow-up on this particular segment.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Hey pet lovers, please listen up. I want to introduce to you Nature's Logic, the most natural full-line pet food ever made. And here's why. Nature's Logic is made with a variety of high-quality proteins, such as beef, chicken, lamb, and venison. You will never find any synthetic vitamins, minerals, or anything else synthetic in Nature's Logic. Only real nutritional foods, such as dried blueberries, apples, carrots, cranberries, spinach, and almonds. Foods loaded with natural vitamins and minerals, as made by nature, not a chemist. Nature's Logic is committed to providing the highest quality and safest nutrition for the furry members of your family. So folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit the Nature's Logic website at naturslogic.com and find a store near you. Nature's Logic can be found in many independent stores throughout Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. So do your pets a favor and start feeding them Nature's Logic. and treat them to the very best. Nature's Logic is truly 100% natural, the way pet foods should be.
Hello and welcome back to All Paws Pet Talk. My name is Annie Greer. We have a very special guest here today. We are going to be talking to America's veterinarian, Dr. Marty Baker. So good morning and welcome to the show.
Thank you. I love being on the show.
Now, you have written so many books. One I remember very well was Chicken Soup for Pets. Many years ago, actually, I think about 15 years. We still have the copies of that in our three clinics, by the way. People still read it and love it. But you've just come out with another book. Now, actually, how many books have you actually written?
Well, I've been blessed. I've done 22 books. I've either authored or co-authored. Wow. I've sold over 9 million books, and I've had 3 New York Times bestsellers. And hopefully, this new book is called Your Dog, the Owner's Manual. And if that name sounds strikingly familiar, why does that name sound familiar? It's because my buddy Dr. Oz, I'm on the Dr. Oz show, let us use his name. At one time we were talking about maybe doing the book together, and then right. We just figured out it's probably best left under a veterinarian. But it sounds like he's had 7 number one New York Times bestsellers in a row, starting out with You, the Owner's Manual.
Sounds a good guy to know.
A good guy to know. But the book is, that we did the book different than any other book that we've been part of or any other book, and that we looked at secrets, surprises, and solutions. What are the things that save people time, save people money? What things make their life easier with a pet, or what things enhance the life and well-being of a pet? And I have to tell you, when we were filming some videos recently in a veterinary hospital to go along with the big 30-city tour we're doing, even in a veterinary hospital, people were shocked. People that had worked in a veterinary hospital for 30 years found things that we knew that they didn't know. And you have to demonstrate them in action. And one of them, for example, is a dog that's shaking dry in a bath. And if you know where to touch him with 2 fingers, you can stop a dog instantly from shaking. They cannot shake, but it's not heavy pressure or anything. If you know exactly where to touch him, and these people were shocked about that. And I just did a Dr. Oz segment last week, was taped, and we were talking about veterinary secrets for getting medication out of the bottle and into a pet. And the dog that was on the show, the lady, you know, I had, when you fly back in to do, you don't know the people you're going to meet. So some producer gets the person whose dog is extremely difficult to give medicine to. I didn't realize that the dog was a little aggressive. And she said, even the veterinarian can't pill this dog. So that's not good when you know in about 15 minutes you're going to be doing a segment on TV. And they said, do you want to rehearse it? And I said, no, let's just do it when we do the segment live. So here comes the dog out there, and luckily I kind of have a rapport with dogs anyway, but I showed this little secret of how you get a dog to take medication with just a puff of air, and people were shocked. I mean, there was an audible gasp came up when the dog took the medicine. It swallowed it. It licked its lips, how they do. You know how they do. We know, of course, they work in a veterinary hospital. When they lick their lips, it's been swallowed, and
no, that's going to be a great tip, by the way. If you can do it for cats, too, that would be even better.
Well, your cat, the owner's manual, is a year away, so we'll see. Okay, that may or may not be one of the tips.
So a lot of people are trying to save money and self-medicate, but you actually point out in this book there's one particular substance that is very dangerous every single time it's used. And as a veterinary practice, we've seen animals die from this, mm-hmm. particularly if they've not told the veterinarian they're using this product along with some other medication mm-hmm. they may have been put on. So what is that?
This is one of those things. There's something that's it's in every household. I would venture to say every single household in America has this product in it. And when it's used, 100% of the time, it damages a dog. And that is aspirin. They've actually done studies now where people have given a single aspirin, and they've done endoscopies. So they can go down and look inside the intestinal tract, and it's ulcerated every single time. It's really interesting, speaking about that, I just did an interview for USA Today, the newspaper, and that's going to be out, I think, April 18th, but it was about the vet versus the net, and about these people that increasingly go to the internet to diagnose a problem, often wrong, and then for a treatment plan, again, often wrong. And I will tell you, from being a practicing veterinarian, I can think of 5 dogs last year that died because the owner attempted to diagnosis and a treatment plan at home, and it was something, it's not something crazy. It's not like they were trying to do surgery on a massive tumor. These were all vomiting or diarrhea cases. And people think, okay, they go on there, okay, it's dietary indiscretion. They got into the garbage pail or just not feeling right. So they start on Pepto-Bismol or Kalpectate, or they give them Imodium. And what people don't realize is, I'll give you some of the examples of what happened. One of the dogs had swallowed a piece of carpet. So it had vomited for 5 days. They brought it in. The intestinal tract was perforated. It had a septic abdomen that was a raging infection, and the dog didn't make it. So if they're vomiting or diarrhea, it can be a foreign body, it can be bloat, it can be ingestion of a poison like a rodenticide or something they're using for slug bait. It can be an infectious disease like parvo. It can be pancreatitis. It can be irritable bowel disease. It's not just the fact that they ate something that upset their stomach. And so too many times what happens is people wait too long. And so they're not in that period of grace when it's actually less expensive to treat and the pet doesn't have to suffer. And
I can't tell you how grateful I am that you're saying that, because we get to see those animals in our clinics at the last stages, and it's too late. We had someone call the other day, my dog's been bitten by a coral snake, what should I do? Well, it's come and see us. Well, we thought we'd wait and see. Wait and see what? Mm-hmm. What are you waiting to see? So leading causes of poisoning in dogs. I thought this was very interesting.
Yeah, there's something on this is, these are all just, there's hundreds of these in there. There's something on a counter in most homes right now that is the leading cause of people having to call animal poison control. Now, I'll let you think about it for a second, what that might be. It might be in the kitchen. It might be in the bedroom. It might be in the bathroom where this product
is. See, I'd have thought toilet cleaner. You know, like when the dogs drink out of the toilet, and you put the toilet cleaner in there. I'd have come up with that
one. It is actually human prescriptions that are sitting there. And here's a dog that can, you know, they can, you know, break a leg bone on a cow if they want to chew it. They can easily get into these bottles. Or somebody drops a single pill on the floor and they can get it. There's another example of something that a veterinarian would know. There's a common product called Lamotil that is used for diarrhea that people still have and, you know, some tucked away or something. If you give that to the wrong dog, if it's a herding dog, like an Australian Shepherd or a Border Collie or something that has a multi-drug sensitivity, there's a mutant gene that they have, a single pill can kill that dog. I've seen that happen last year as well. And people don't realize in veterinary medicine now we can do testing. You know, it's $60 to find out if the dog has the gene. Yeah. And so then you know about not using azepromazine or ivermectin or these other things on it. But there's no substitute to going to the veterinarian for, you know, a tip of the nose to the tip of the tail exam, preferably twice yearly. What your dog, the owner's manual, does is really the veterinarian is still at the center of the equation here. But there's ways for you to. I'll just give you a couple other kind of a highlight reel. One of the number one pet owner complaints is shedding. And we have some tips in there to reduce shedding by 90%, up to 90%. And it's basically cut back, collect, and contain. And so if people are going to look for a new dog, for example, and you think, okay, I want a dog that doesn't shed very much, let's get a short-haired dog. Actually, that's completely wrong. You want a long-haired dog. So a long-haired, small dog that is clipped short, so you keep it clipped short, that's going to cause the least amount of shedding in a house.
See, it's just full of these tips. It's a great book to just pick up and read a bit. Now, how can people get hold of this book, and do you have a website? Everybody has a website, right?
Yeah, go to petconnection.com to check out the book, and we're getting ready to go on a big bus tour. The book actually launches April 15th on Good Morning America, followed by Dr. Oz and Rachel Ray and Joy Behar, and then we're getting on a 30-city bus tour, so you can go to drmartybecker.com, drmartybecker.com, and that has the tour schedule, so if we're coming to a city near you, and also Dr. Marty Becker on Facebook. We actually have more Facebook fans now than the American Animal Hospital Association has, and we're closing in on Parade, actually.
That's cool.
So that's pretty good.
All right, so listen, everybody, if you have a dog, you have got to have this book, and it is called Your Dog, The Owner's Manual, and it is by Dr. Marty Becker. And again, go to his websites. One of them is www.petconnection.com, or you can go to drmartybecker.com as well. And look out for that big bus. It's coming to a city near you. Dr. Becker, thank you so much.
You.
It's been a pleasure.
We've been friends a long time. It's nice to see you.
We have been friends a long time.
Yeah.
But I haven't sold 9 million books. I'm working on it, okay? I'm trying to sell one
we'll help you.
All right, sounds good. Hey, listen, have a great tour. I know it'll be a big success. I think you're doing a great service, not just to pet owners, but for veterinarians too. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye. What a great guy, Dr. Marty Becker. And Brian, I'm so sorry that you actually arrived too late for that interview here at Global Pet Expo.
I'm sure that Dr. Becker was profoundly disappointed. Yes.
No, but this guy has written so many bestsellers. He's done so much, not just for the veterinary profession, but also for pet owners, you know, people who actually have these animals, because I think he's able to present things in a way that they understand. And this book of his is just, I mean, flipping through it, everybody needs a copy. So when you're listening to this show, today is the day by the way, that the book is released.
Oh, wow.
And he's perfect going timing. On the Today
Everybody
Show.
Everybody needs a copy, and today is the day it's being released. Sounds like a
Today
plug to
Show,
me.
Everybody else. But first, you have heard it from All Paws Pet Talk.
And Annie Greer.
And Annie Greer. Yes, I've actually known Dr. Becker for about 15 years or something.
That's great. So no relation to Boris, the tennis player, huh?
No, but I appreciate you making the connection.
I was trying to do something there. You know, I brought it around to Wimbledon.
So he's setting off with his family on this big bus doing a tour all around the country. I'm not sure I would be... I'm not a big bus person, you know, like the RV through America type stuff. But
it's not like a Ken Kesey Merry Pranksters kind of bus, is it?
Anyway, so now we're going to be joined by Karen from Pet of the Day after the break.
I know she's
talking
excited about
everything creepy and crawly. So,
you got it.
Come right back. You're listening to All Paws Pet Talk.
Hey, pet lovers, please listen up. I want to introduce to you Nature's Logic, the most natural full-line pet food ever made. And here's why. Nature's Logic is made with a variety of high-quality proteins, such as beef, chicken, lamb, and venison. You will never find any synthetic vitamins, minerals, or anything else synthetic in Nature's Logic. Only real nutritional foods, such as dried blueberries, apples, carrots, cranberries, spinach, and almonds. Foods loaded with natural vitamins and minerals, as made by nature, not a chemist. Nature's Logic is committed to providing the highest quality and safest nutrition for the furry members of your family. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit the Nature's Logic website at naturslogic.com and find a store near you. Nature's Logic can be found in many independent stores throughout Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. So, do your pets a favor and start feeding them Nature's Logic and treat them to the very best. Nature's Logic is truly 100% natural, the way pet foods should be.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
You probably don't know if you've been listening to the first three quarters of it, but it's meant to be about pets. And you're listening to All Paws Pet Talk. We've called to mention again, we've already spoken to Jean from farmsanctuary.org. That's a great website. Go and have a look at that.
Yep.
And then also the pawsforacause.info. Now, I can think of no good segue into the next segment with Karen.
Okay, well, feed me and I'll give you one.
I want to ferret, I want to ferret some information out of her.
Ferret away.
Okay. Karen, good morning.
Good morning, Annie. Hello, Brian.
Hello, Karen.
So, tell us what we're talking about this week.
Well, it's a great story in the news. It's sort of a success story. Now, lots of people who own ferrets might not know that black-footed ferrets, the Native American version of ferrets, are an endangered species, and they used to be thought to be extinct. But there were some found in 1981, and now they're doing so well in captivity that they're sending a bunch of them to boot camp.
Okay, let's back up. Why are they going? Oh, listen, black-footed ferrets going to boot camp. Ha, ha, ha. Okay, okay. Sorry.
Hey, that was really funny.
So, what are they doing at boot camp?
Well, because they were born and raised in captivity to protect them, they have to learn how to do things like hunt and kill live prey. Because, you know, in the wild, nobody's going to come up to them with a buffet platter.
Oh, a lucky prey who gets to be learned upon.
I was going to say, how do you volunteer for that gig?
I have a question. I mean, I have a thought or a question. I'm not sure which. It is nature's way to sometimes make things extinct, and then we suddenly decide we're going to, like, I mean, what if someone had decided, you know what, it's a shame all these dinosaurs have gone. I think we need to keep a couple of raptors going here.
There have been people who told me my mother should never have been allowed to breed.
And I totally agree with that.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
So, I mean, Karen, isn't that not going to now upset the balance the other way when probably generations of whatever it is out there that's not being eaten by them have gotten used to not being eaten by them? Now you're going to make them extinct or something.
Never let your
well,
garden.
No, because what they normally eat are prairie dogs. And the reason ferrets came close to being extinct is people decided prairie dogs were eating too much of the stuff on the prairie where they wanted to graze cattle. And cattle could break their legs stepping in prairie dogs' holes and keep going. So people tried to exterminate prairie dogs and, as a side effect, nearly exterminated the ferrets. The prairie dogs need ferrets to keep their population under control. Like any, you know, small prey animal, they tend to breed really quickly.
Hey, Kara, that was an interesting phrasing. Did you notice that? Prairie dogs need ferrets to keep their population down.
Yeah.
So basically, we need serial killers among us.
Are we giving you a hard time, Karen? I'm sorry.
Sorry, Karen.
So how are they going to keep track of these by microchipping them or something along that line?
Well, they estimate there are about 1,000 black-footed ferrets in the wild today. So I'm guessing that they have some way of tracking them and you know, figuring out who's where. I don't know that they're microchipping them because then you have to catch them in order to scan the microchip.
This is very true. So where are they normally indigenous to?
The whole sort of middle of the country, what we think of as the grain belt, anywhere there was prairie. So the wide, flat expanses in, you know, like Kansas and Nebraska and all across the middle of the country.
How about where Oklahoma, where the wind comes whipping across the plain?
Oh, that'll
all right. Yeah, see, I did that that time. You know, I think that's a great story. Are you going to be able to have a follow-up and find out how they're doing? Although I did read on some of the stuff you sent that they've actually raised 7,000 since 1991, which seems a large amount.
Yes, but like I said, there are only about 1,000 alive in the wild today, so obviously not all of those right. ferrets thrived, shall we say.
What's a ferret lifespan? Because that was 20 years ago, and you wonder, I mean, like, how many ferrets should that beget?
I know in captivity we see ones, generally 8 is very elderly. So now, they're not related to the domestic, well, what we call a pet ferret, which is, of course, banned in some states anyway.
I was going to say the illegal pet ferret.
Yeah.
That's right. Those are bred from the European version of the ferret. So they're, if you look at the black-footed ferret, they're leaner. They have much pointier faces, and they do have black legs as well as black feet.
And, you know, I have to admit, though, I kind of see ferrets as almost like furry snakes. I'm going to have a lot of hate mail on this one now. But I find it's a one little mammal that I find a little hard to handle.
You,
I know.
Champion of the pit bull and champion of the black snakes, but you have a ferret problem? I'm shocked, Annie.
Ferret problem.
I'm shocked, and I'm a bit disappointed.
So listen, Karen, once again, thank you. I threw this ball to you and said, please go with it because I could barely think. I love the pet of the day, by the way. Thank you for that, which Jackie in the closet has brought up because she can't do much else today, so she may as well make herself useful somewhere. She's coughing away and hacking. I love that chicken. And as you know, I've lost all my chickens now to Wiley the coyote. So thank you for putting a chicken up there.
Well, Isabelline is a pretty glamorous-looking chicken, and she's only got one eye, but she doesn't let that get her down, so.
No, she looks great. I appreciate that. Listen, Karen, we're going to direct everybody to go and view your websites, which are petoftheday.com, dogoftheday.com, and catoftheday.com. We will speak to you next week, I hope. And in the meantime, have a super weekend.
You too, Annie, and Brian as well.
Thank you, Kara.
Thank you,
going to go to work on my website where I'm soliciting pictures of, you know, mules, donkeys, and it's going to be ass of the day.
Oh, gosh. Now you see, stop already. Thank you, Karen.
Thanks, Kara.
And thank you to you, all of our listeners. I'm talking to the lady who lives in Boston. Thank you. No, actually, we had someone else that the people that I interviewed from the pit bull competitions that they do to, you know, each pit bull has to go through certification and everything. They now listen to the show, too.
Good.
So to those three, we want to say thank you so much.
I wish everybody would get their pit bulls trained. Huh?
And we will be back next week. We'll have some more exciting guests.
Yep.
Please try and come out to the Greenbrier event, Paws for a Cause, if you are in the Central Florida area. It will be a very fun weekend, and I do guarantee there's lots of food there. I will look forward to speaking to you next week. If you want to check us out, go to the website at www.allpawspettalk. You can even drop a question if you have a pet-related question, and we will answer that for you as soon as we can. All I've got left to say is cheerio, Brian.
Ta-ta.
Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.